All right, good afternoon, everyone. We're going to call the faculty meeting to order. Let me go ahead and say thank you to Liz for that presentation. If you have just come in and want to participate in Liz's and Sarah's survey of undergraduate research, perceptions about undergraduate research, she has copies she can give to you. We're going to collect these at the end of the meeting if you choose to participate. So thank you, Liz. Please continue to eat if you wish. I know several people just came in and there's plenty of food. Here come more people. I'm going to send the sign-up sheet back around so as people come in, they can sign in. And thank you. All right. We are going to depart a little bit from the usual order of the agenda because we have an election at the end of the meeting. And in order to give our vice chair time to prepare the ballots, what I'm going to do is open the nominations for the Duffy and Plowler and Shaw Community College Excellence Awards at the beginning. We'll do the nominations really quickly, and then at the end, we'll have a paper ballot election. So we'll depart a bit from the order of the agenda, and then we'll return to it in just a few minutes. So as you know, the floor is open now for nominations for the Palmetto College Excellence Awards. Our campus can nominate one member for each of the three awards: Duffy Teaching, Shaw Scholarship, and Plowler Service. And we have several nominations in each of those areas. Dana, do you mind reminding us who has been nominated thus far?
Hi. So for the Duffy Awards, the Teaching Award, right now we have Alan Hangburn, Sarah Selvers, and Kate Holland as nominees. For the Denise Shaw Scholarship Award, Fran Gardner and Lee Sy. And Chris Plyler Service Award, Stephen Criswell and Alan Hangburn.
And we can take additional nominations from the floor. As you remember, I asked that since the nomination process involves the preparation of a substantial file, that you not nominate anyone who you have not already spoken with and who has confirmed that they are willing to stand nomination. At this time, are there any additional nominees for any of those awards? Okay, Dana's going to get a paper ballot ready for us for the end of the meeting. Thank you very much, and we'll return to the normal order of the agenda at this point. So that is correction and approval of the minutes. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Any discussion of the minutes? All right. Here none, the minutes stand approved. I'd like to thank Suzanne, our faculty secretary. This is a substantial job, and it got a lot more substantial this year. As you know, she is working to make sure these documents are accessible on our website and has asked your help in please submitting accessible Word documents for your reports rather than PDFs. She sent a very nice, very clear email with instructions about that. I ask that you please follow those instructions to make Suzanne's life easier and also to make it easier for people who need to be able to access our documents in other ways. So thank you, Suzanne, very much, and thank you, everyone, for your cooperation with that.
And I apologize, Susan, publicly. I had to resubmit my document yesterday, so you read my email more closely. So I submitted a report yesterday afternoon, and I'll be glad, I'm going to hit a few highlights on the report, and I'd be glad to take any comments or questions you might have. Faculty have been invited. A week from today, U.S. and Lancaster will be hosting the Palmetto College campus's Faculty Senate meeting here on our campus. And so, as has been tradition, we invite full-time faculty to join us for lunch, even if you're, of course, if you're not a senator. That will be at noon in the Arnold Room. And some of you have responded, but Michelle needs to know about 10 o'clock Monday morning. So that we can let the caterer know. So if you would like to join us for lunch next Friday at Senate, you're invited to do that. Another quick thing that's not on the report is I think the faculty in Bradley, who teach in some of the classrooms in Bradley, have been notified that there's going to be some extensive work going on in the physics lab floor starting Monday. And by midweek, there'll probably be some fumes associated with that. They're going to be doing ventilation, but just be aware that that will be happening. And if you need to make arrangements to move your class, Dr. Curtin's office is helping with that. The CAM has emailed everybody who looks to be affected in that area, but just want to make everybody aware of that and work with the Academic Affairs Office again if you need help rearranging your schedule, rearranging space next week. I want to welcome a lot of new faces from the staff side, some of whom started today, and a few of whom started a week or two ago. So on my report, Mr. Colby Jones is right here beside Blake. Welcome to the IT staff. Mrs. Audrey Campbell has been with us a long time, but she was named to the permanent position in TRIO OSP for academic support for the OSP program. She's out of the room today, but when you see her, congratulate her. Mrs. Karen Collins has been with us a while as a part-time and full-time temp. She's now in the business office in the cashier position in the business office full-time basis. So welcome her when you see her. Mrs. Bridget Plexico is down here in the red jacket. She started today, internship coordinator. So welcome, Bridget. I'll just remind everybody that this position came out of the town gown group meetings for the last couple years. The notion that we could use someone to help work with faculty and students and bridge that gap to the community, helping students find internships and working with the business and industry to help them understand the kinds of things that we need from them in support of our students' work and those kinds of experiences. So we're glad Bridget's here. Bridget is in Bradley 128 over in the Bradley building. Mrs. Summer Harmon went from temp status to full-time status, helping Laura with student engagement and success. And then Mrs. Cheryl McCown joins the dual credit support work in the Office of Admissions and Records. So glad to have all of those staff members in place. Thank you to all the committees, the committee chairs who worked on that, and to Tracy for helping facilitate the HR side of all of these hires. A lot of staff hires right here at the beginning of the year, more than usual. And then, of course, you know, there are faculty hires ongoing now, and you see them there about the biology position. Hopefully we'll have some word on that in the next few days. So again, thank you to all of the search committees there. I sent out an email to a few select people, but I wanted to have it in my report too. The AmeriCorps point person for the Lancaster area is looking for a couple of people. If you have students who might be interested in that, the details are in my report, but just let me know. I'd like to help them as best we can. There's, of course, pay and an education stipend for those who complete the program. And then finally, President Chasm's visit to USC Lancaster has now been rescheduled for November 20th. It's on the report. We'll send out a more detailed itinerary for his visit, which is going to be moving from, it's supposed to be in October, it was supposed to be in the morning, we'll be moving to midday on November 20th. And then hope to see you all this afternoon at 2:30. We have an appreciation, gratitude reception for faculty and staff across the street at Kilroy Dowling. Look forward to seeing you there. We'll continue celebrating there. Any questions or comments?
Yes, sir. In your report, you mentioned the Town and Gown Group is meeting with the MTS3 or they're working though with a different group. Is that right? I've gotten confused about how many groups there are trying to revitalize them.
So, Boren and Chris, maybe y'all can say a little bit about that, because I know y'all are both on groups that have.
There's only two right now?
Or two
is there a third one somewhere?
Two what?
Groups. There's the Town and Gown group, there's the group that you're on. Is that it? Is there a third one?
Okay, I'm on a group, I represent the Revitalization Committee for the city.
Right.
Town and Gown
is a university
organization. And a lot of people in those groups wear two hats.
And that's what I'm getting at. I think there's some confusion.
Soon.
Yeah, I think there's some. I've talked with people who've got as confused as I have been about whether there's one group all working together, two groups in the shadow group.
And then SIMS Foundation also plays a very large role.
Okay, but they're actually
there. Right. It's the SIMS Foundation is supporting the Revitalization Committee. And I'm not sure if they're working with the Town Gown or not, but they're members that are all that represent
so
all three of them that we work
together.
We are working together. Yeah, but we're sharing everything.
Okay.
So they want to make sure Downtown Revitalization wants to make sure the university is included. Town and Gown, I'm sure, wants to make sure they want to make sure that you're connected to that, and so we're all working together.
Okay.
That link, by the way, is the report. It's 127 slide PowerPoint. Very interesting images and conceptions of what downtown might be. We're interested in seeing that. Anything else?
Thank you. Oh, let me back. Well, I only have one thing to say. Don't talk about one thing, but it has several parts. First of all, final exam is coming, and the link, I did send the link for you to go straight to it, and it'll have the exam schedule. But if you're in Fall 2 classes, there may be some conflict between your students being in class and taking an exam. Let us know that so we can help work that through. Exam grades are due by 9 a.m. December 18th. If you don't do that, then Megan has a chore. She has to find you, get your grades, manually put them in, because they're going to run those grades on December 19th in Columbia. She has no control over that. So if she has to go back and put your stuff in later, she has to do that manually. But she has to find you because it's Christmas. And as soon as you turn your grades in, you're gone. So you make work for somebody else if you don't follow the timetable. Please don't do that. I'd have to be the Wicked Witch of the West to come back here and get you if you do that. Dominique, will ask those of you who are doing dual enrollment to send in numeric numbers because they have to have that for the high school. That's all my office.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tell us that date again, please, and time.
9 a.m. December 18th. 9 a.m. Repeat after me. 9 a.m.
December 18th. That's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. Right. Students may be on probation and they'll be suspended if you don't get their grades in, if they shouldn't be. There's just a lot of consequences, not only to the workload, but to the individual students themselves. So, say it again. 9 a.m. December
18th.
A lot of times I don't realize I even have dual enrollment students, and I just learned I had another one the other day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's a way we can
She sends you a list with, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Dean Collins, Dean Pearson, are there any additional questions for either of our teams? All right, thank you so much. Active Success Center, Dr. Lawrence.
I sent out a report this morning, and I'm happy to take questions. I don't have anything to add.
Report sent out this morning. Any questions? Thank you. We are, thank you for your report, and we're glad you're there for the students. I know that they are excited to have you there this time of year. We have a report from the bookstore. Shee Wellman.
I just wanted to remind everybody, your 2020 spring adoptions, please go ahead and turn them in. The earlier we get them, the earlier we can get used books. And once they're gone, they're gone. And we're trying to save your students some money, so please go ahead and turn them in. I have a sign-up sheet. If it's just the same thing for all your classes, let me know. If something's different, let me know.
Thank
you very much. Spring bookstore, yes, please. Human resources, Trace Dudley. Yes. Good afternoon. I did submit a report last night around 11 or something. The only thing I want to reiterate, I did not attach the USC Lead Pool form because it was not accessible. And so I do have those in the office, and I did include the link. So instead of three ways to submit those, there's only two this year. And so we'll work on trying to make that form accessible so I can add it back to the report. But those are due by December 2nd. There are people on our campus that would probably be grateful if you decided to give some leave to directly to them. So if you have colleagues that you know are going to go through something that would require some extra leave time, please consider donating to those individuals directly. And that's all I have.
Thank you. And Tracy's always really good about helping you figure out how to fill out those forms, because they are confusing to those of us who do not do them all the time, so we thank you for that. You have a question?
Yes.
Yeah, well, question or slash clarification about accessibility. I think it's still okay if it's something that goes over email that's not accessible for now.
Okay.
And if it's something that doesn't have to go online.
Okay.
Like, I, as far as I know, that's all right. Does anybody know any differently?
Sounds reasonable.
Okay.
So you think it's okay to send an accessible email document? But probably it would be better if we tried to be accessible. Which is why we're using the microphone, which is, I know, irritating, but it's important. Not everybody is able to participate fully without it. So thank you for your cooperation with both of those things.
Not pass the microphone.
Oh, wow.
Good afternoon, everyone. I submitted or emailed a inaccessible or not accessible report, which I will send out again. So I missed that. Did not read. Are there any questions about? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it's not necessarily about the report, but I've had a number of issues with some dual credit students who are use Chromebooks for school. And have had a hard time, especially for online text. If there's assignments for online text, they can't download the software because,
right.
As you know, Chromebooks operate, on the cloud.
Right.
So, some of them have come up with me, even though I have it on my syllabus. You cannot do these assignments on Chromebook CV. They play dumb and they don't see me, and then they try to get out of the assignment because you get where this is going.
Right.
So is there any way maybe something can be done, say at orientation, saying that, okay, if you have, there may be some online textbooks that you'll be required to purchase that are not operable on the cloud, so that those students aren't kind of...
Well, unfortunately, we don't have access to these students' orientation. So we have no way of imparting that information to them. Antonio Mackey mentioned this to me before I came to the meeting. And it may be one of those things that in your syllabus, since we are seeing more dual credit students, to put in your syllabi that we are a Windows and MacBook world, and everything we do, which comes from USC Columbia, is geared towards Windows and MacBook. Okay. So, and there's not really anything we can do to address it on a local level because all of our software and everything we do is kind of passed down from the USC Columbia.
So they have to do, like, what I've advised them sometimes is go to the computer lab at their high school and.
Correct. I mean, they can use their high school computer lab, or if they have access to a PC, like a Windows-based computer, or a Mac-based computer at home, then they can do that. But unfortunately, our world does not support the Chromebook. We're not friendly to the Chromebook world. So, and that's way above our collective pay grade.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Give them a sheet of paper that says they agree that they know that they need to have this. They sign it. They have to sign it.
Zero.
They still play dumb.
It was zero.
So, can I ask a very question?
Sure.
Do they have smart hubs? And is the software compatible with the smart hub?
It is not. It depends upon.
Because I've got software.
It's locked down. It's for my assignments. They have, the publisher has locked down browsers to prevent cheating.
Yeah.
And to, make sure, like for their quizzes, like once they select an answer, then it locks it in. So it's basically a secure software, and unless it's on a PC or a Mac or some Acer's, it's you can't download the software to those devices. So, and I made that known to them before the first day of class. Sometimes they listen to me, sometimes they don't.
Any more questions for IT?
We have a computer thing that says that you have to have, these are your computer requirements, that you have to have this type, to be in the College of Nursing. And we tell them that ahead of time, you know, they can't claim they don't have it if, you know.
Well, I can't address the dual credit world, but the dual credit world is a little bit different. Yeah. Because, you know, these devices are provided by the public schools. You know, specific to county. I think most of these are probably Lancaster County students.
Yeah. And some York.
And some York County students.
Is this also something you could share with Justin and Dominique and hope that they can address it directly with the students there and they do a role orientation?
Yeah, that's something we can do. I'll talk to them.
They've got orientations coming up too, so.
That's an issue that might go beyond just the dual enrollment, though, I think. Like, I think a lot of students actually, like, use Google Docs and things like that that aren't necessarily compatible with, like, Blackboard in the ways that, like, Microsoft works are. It's a world of, I mean, mixed platforms.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're in a multi... material world, we're in a multi-platform world, so it's, I mean, and this is, that's all I need. Anyway, any more questions or any more comments or suggestions? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I was afraid we were going to have to respond there for a minute. Reports of committees. Were there any other administrative office reports before we move to reports from committee? All right, we'll start with system committees, executive committee.
Yes.
Thank you. So you may have noticed in the last week or so we've gotten an email that came ultimately from our system chair, from Chris Reinhart from Union, about a survey regarding a possible assembly. I just thought I'd offer a brief comment on why that went out. It's related to the visit of the president to our campus that was recently rescheduled. We've been thinking that it would be great if we could get the president along with all the faculty of the system as we just could make it to an event. And we also thought, as we continue talking about it, none of us had any ideas or any particular urgent ideas on having an agenda. We really just wanted to have a gathering so that you could get do have a chance to spend time not only with him, but with each other. We also, in thinking about it, realized that there was no good time to do it. We had some initial ideas that we thought might work, but we also found drawbacks to all of them. So we thought we would ask for everyone's collective wisdom on the feasibility of this, as well as if there were any ideas anyone else had for such a gathering. We were thinking it would likely be later rather than sooner with this group. But that's the three concepts for that survey request.
Just as far as agenda items are concerned, I mean, I personally kind of think the idea of sooner is better than later. To the extent that he has explicitly said that diversity and inclusion is a major part of his platform, the question that I think would be on the agenda is that a disproportionate of the universities, and that is to say on the Columbia campus and system-wide, students of color are disproportionately come from these regional campuses, right? So there are larger percentages, a larger portion of Columbia's, of the students that Columbia counts as minority students actually come from the regional campuses, right? So to the extent that that's part of his agenda, part of what I would want to know is how aware he was of that and what role he's looking to actually conceive of us in this plan.
Definitely include that in the but he has, you're quite right, he has been saying that diversity and inclusion are very important to him. So this would be an opportunity to explore that a bit.
He may not be here there. We wait too long. If we're learning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So that email came from Dr. Reinhart to me, and I emailed everybody and asked you to fill in a brief survey so that I could collect all the responses. So if you have not yet submitted your responses to that request about the faculty assembly, you can find that in the email, and I'll send a reminder. She asked for the responses by November 22nd. It would be a collated response. If y'all are interested in seeing it, I'll send it to y'all too. Let me know. Rights and responsibilities. Who's? Yeah.
Hi, everyone. The Faculty Senate, of course, meets here next Friday. One of the big things that the Rights and Responsibilities Committee is grappling with is a charge to make tenure reciprocal among all of the system campuses. That's something that may eventually become a motion on the floor, has already been discussed on the floor of the Senate, I believe. If you have concerns about this or want to talk about it, Lee and I would both like to know about that before that meeting, because we'll be discussing it then in the Rights and Responsibilities Committee. So this is something that we want to be well aired before it comes to the floor. So if you want to talk about what the reasoning is behind the motion and any concerns you have or language you'd like to see included or whatever, please, please, please get with us. You can get with us either in person or via email. Can I add anything to that? Okay, I think we're good. Lee's giving me the thumbs up.
And you have a question from Suzanne.
I'd love to hear more about it now. Probably dispense with the mic.
We'd love to hear more about it now.
Okay. I can only tell you some of this. I may actually pass it off to Lee because I was absent at the last meeting. But this is a charge that was brought to us by the executive committee and involves some of the recent administrative moves with people with tenure moving from campus to campus. And so there is an interest in making sure that that process is streamlined somewhat, since it happens with some frequency. Some of the things that I know people have been concerned about is what this portends for unification among the campuses and
last year we were discussing already collecting and including in the manual as an appendix the local TNP procedures. And we had a discussion last year about to what extent including those procedures in the manual constituted a move toward unified tenure and promotion practices across all the campuses, which is something that I know concerns the various local TNP procedures and everyone on the at the local campuses as well. So those may be things that come up during that discussion. Do you want to add anything to talk about that?
Yeah, I think pretty much the language of the motion will be posted pretty soon, I think, within this week. I think during our discussion, what we want to put in the language is in our manual, in the tenure promotion section, is when you're granted motion of tenure and the rank of associate professor, for example, you're granted that tenure of Palmetto College. So it doesn't mean any kinds of unification, but just want to specify that your tenure is a Palmetto College tenure and rank. And Patrick said, the rationale was, this charge was from executive committee, I believe, and was because of the recent frequent moving for a few personnel. But again, I think in our meeting, our first meeting of this year, our committee member all voted to move this motion to the floor unanimously. I was the first time in the meeting because I just joined the Senate this year, and I, based on my thinking about it, is we're all using the same manual as the golden standard for across all campuses. So I didn't think about too much what Patrick has mentioned about the unification things. Just for my thinking is the tenure granting was based on the only golden standard of our manual, which is the same. Regardless, the reviewing process may be different among different campuses, but the standard was the same. So, again, we would love to hear any questions or concerns. We will bring that to further discussion in our next meeting before the motion reaches the floor for discussion and final voting next Friday.
So I would say, as a faculty member, a question that I would have is, if I'm granted tenure in Palmetto College, that would enable me to move to another campus, but it's not going to require me to, right?
No, so never.
My home campus stays. I think a lot of people would have that. Would this eliminate the local tenure and promotion committee? Would it just be a Palmetto College campus's tenure and promotion committee?
I'm sorry, excuse me.
So right now, tenure and promotion files go through two levels of review in committees. So the local campus tenure and promotion committee, a Lancaster campus.
Right.
And then after the dean, the system tenure and promotion committee.
Right.
Is this also considering consolidating that into a system?
No, that was never discussed. I believe that was never discussed regarding the process-wise. The only thing is adding a short paragraph of language is specifying your tenure. It's not just a local tenure. The tenure applies to all Palmetto College campuses.
So existing tenure promotion
Correct.
Practices would be the
same. I think
same,
even more straightforward way of describing this, for example, because of a financial issue, a campus gets closed, and your tenured faculty from one campus, from that closing campus, then if another campus happened to have a position open and you were hired, then you don't have to go through that process because your tenure applies to the whole Palmetto College campuses. But like Lisa was asking, the process of reviewing tenure was never discussed or any changes were made regarding this motion wise.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, system affairs.
I don't have a report. We don't have any specific charges that we are working on right now. Part of the description of the committee's purpose is concerning the relationships among campuses within the system, so that's something we've been talking about. but nothing that is come to the floor or anything anytime soon. Thank you. Welfare.
We have no new updates. I just did want to reiterate that the community workshop will be January 17th, 2020. We're still working on that. If anyone has any feedback or anything in particular that they'd like to see at the workshop, you can let me know or Betty or Brittany.
Peter, would you mind repeating that date?
January 17th.
January 17th for the tenure promotional workshop. That's all the Senate is. Other system committees, Columbia Faculty Senate. Shimsy sent out something the other day about PIs and grants, and I don't remember the details, but if you're a PI on a grant, you might want to go back and read Shimsy's email that has something to do with Columbia procedures and Senate, also if I'm remembering correctly. Next up, local committees. Y'all probably aren't aware that right now we have a new ad hoc committee. This is an ad hoc, temporary committee for the moment. A lifelong learning committee. This is a project that Dr. Baldrick has been interested in and recruited some help with. And so Stephen Criswell and I and Dean are currently serving in an ad hoc capacity on this committee. We have a report for us.
This is just a sort of casual report, just to kind of let people know what we're thinking about with this, and to maybe recruit a little bit more in the way of interested faculty. But it sort of seemed to me, as we're talking about community, town gown, that stuff, one of the really great ways of seeing different campuses engage better with the community is through a lifelong learning program. And so we've been talking about putting something together kind of along the Osher model. The sort of evening classes, you know, four times over the course of an academic semester, not for credit, not necessarily the sort of thing that we would think of as a course, but sort of an evening seminar, you know, something as concerned with being interesting as it is with being sort of educational, and so it'd be an opportunity for us to sort of engage with the community, to get the community on campus and be thinking about what we're doing here a little bit more. To also for ourselves, it would be an opportunity to talk about some stuff in interesting ways with different people who we maybe wouldn't encounter in a traditional for credit class, and just a way to kind of like generally put faculty and campus and community in one place in one time, and on top of that, the model that we're looking at is one where you get paid for doing these classes. The traditional model, you get paid by the head. We're still working on the details on that kind of thing. But we kind of mocked up some ideas for a program starting in the fall of 2020. We've got sort of three classes provisionally put together, a literature class, a writing class, and a oral history class. We'd like to round it out with a fourth, maybe even a little bit more, or start thinking about programs on into 2021 and that sort of thing. So I really just wanted to let people know that we're thinking about that and ask anybody who thinks they might be interested in putting together four sort of evenings, relatively casual, relatively interactive evenings about an area of interest that you might want to talk to people about. To just contact me and let me know that you're thinking about it or ask for more information if that's what you're looking for. The long-term plan for this is for it to eventually become something that sort of runs itself out of an office somewhere on campus that isn't exactly faculty-driven, but sort of has a sort of a home in an office that will kind of self-perpetuate along those lines. So that's where we are on that. So anybody who thinks you might be interested in getting involved with that on any level, feel free to just send me an email and we'll line things up or just grab you before we leave.
Any questions? Thank you, Chris. This is an exciting opportunity. I think it'll be a nice way for us to bring our knowledge to the community and also enjoy ourselves in the process. Are there any other local committee reports?
Instructor peer reviews, those people who indicated their intention to go for senior instructor, deadline date is today to get your files to Dropbox, so I'm hoping to see those. We sent out notices and emails. Hopefully people saw the emails and know today's the deadline to get those in.
Thank you so much. If you have any questions? TNP files for you today.
Awesome. Did you know that, Tanya?
Having fun today.
Having fun.
Any other local community reports?
She said by 11:59.
Today.
Yes.
Today's the day.
Yeah, 11:59.
I am not aware of any unfinished business.
As long as it's...
Am I correct? All right, is there any new business? All right, so we will move to special orders. The election of our Palmetto College Excellence Awards on Mr. Campus nominees. Dana's got those ballots, they're coming out now. While she's passing those out, Dana, at the beginning, I was thanking Suzanne for her work on the minutes and the accessibility issue, and Dana had quite a job getting our committee list accessible at the same time as she was doing the tenure file. Of course, she pulled off of the flaw. We're not surprised by that. Thank you for that work, Dana. You can just, once you've completed your ballot, fold it and pass it down to the ends of the rows and we'll collect them. Dana will announce those results.
Shape it up into like a little boat or something.
Let's go ahead and come back to order for the last few minutes in our agenda. I left my gavel, y'all. Come on. I didn't get to go back to the house.
Is that what you do at home?
All right, we're going to move to the announcement portion of the meeting. Announcements. Hello. So I have several announcements. I'm going to go ahead and make them before I forget all of them. All right. First of all, campus reading groups. If you signed up for a book for campus reading groups, those are available at the reception following this event over in the Carol Ray Dowling Center, which officially starts at 2:30. But I also feel like probably there's nothing to keep us from going over there if we're going to have to. However, having said that, there will be a formal presentation of service pens a little bit before 3. So if you do go over early to reception, please make sure that you're there to support our colleagues as they're recognized for their service, probably around 2:45 or so. So if you signed up for a book for the faculty, for the campus reading groups, those are in the Dowling Center for reception after this. If you did not sign up for one yet and you're having sadness because you forgot, let me know. The reception, of course, is at 2:30 or whenever we get out here and go over at Carol Ray Dowling. There are going to be door prizes for their games. Don't miss it. RPS grants, remember, applications for RPS grants are due December 2nd, I believe at 5 o'clock. Please check the deadlines for that. One thing that I have not mentioned and you are hearing about for the first time today, so that's very exciting, is I've been in the process of trying to arrange 2 Center for Teaching Excellence presentations. There have been a couple of requests. One, I will email this out, but one will be Tuesday, November 12th. There will be a presentation at 12:15 to 1, and then one from 2:30 to 3:15 by Mitchell West, who is our Blackboard guru. He has asked to come and speak to us about something called ultragraph blast navigation. I don't know what that is, but it sounds exciting. So, I hope that you will join us for that. Again, I will send this information out in an email. And then that same week, on Thursday, November 14th, Lydia Frass, who is also from the Center for Teaching Excellence, is going to come and speak to us about accessibility and documents, because it's not just for our faculty organization documents that these things need to be accessible, but also for our students. So she'll be able to talk to us and help us with that. That session will be in a computer lab. You're encouraged to bring your laptops, because the computer labs don't all have the equipment that we need if you're making PDFs, for example, to make your documents accessible. So again, an email will go out about that. Tuesday the 12th, Thursday the 14th, Ultra Blast Navigation and Accessibility. If you did a survey for Liz and Sierra and you have not turned it in yet, please go ahead and make sure you get her that on the way out. Those are all my exciting announcements. So now y'all have a turn. Other announcements. I didn't really think about this and like my step count, but it's probably good for me.
Can I announce out a question that someone here might be able to answer?
You can.
Okay. Is there an active search going on for the program?
Chris Reinhart's involved in that for Pomona College, is that right? Is it active? Are they used everybody?
Do you know when they're making any advice? Hopefully it's open.
I think it's active.
Oh, should have asked that.
I heard they were trying to fill it early in the spring semester, but I think that's optimistic.
That we have a Thanksgiving basket drive for students. So if you have any students that you think could benefit from that, it's food that you have to cook though, like it's, you know, frozen turkey and stuff like that. We have a small amount of money that we can use for anyone. So if there are staff that can benefit from that, it's a very tiny amount of money that we have for staff. The majority of our funds are specified specifically for students. So I didn't know that until yesterday. So. Just FYI, I'm getting more staff that are interested than students. But if there is a student that you have that might be interested that has a need, just let them know to come to the food pantry and sign up. All right? Thank you. Yeah.
I wanted to announce the dates for our Native American Studies Week for 2020. It will be going from March 20th to the 26th. We're starting on the 20th with a lunch and learn lecture. And then continuing on through the next week. Also, tonight there's the Gay Street Arts Crawl, and our special projects coordinator Elizabeth Streeter and student Sam Ferris will be there representing the Native American Studies Center. So stop by and say hi to them. Maybe buy some art.
I appreciate that. I want to stay healthy. Our nurse faculty.
On the ball.
That's right. So I've had the privilege of being on the planning committee for the system-wide advisors conference that we have every year. Only a few of you have come, which is disappointing to me. But it's okay. But this year, I just wanted to announce that they're accepting proposals. So y'all have a lot to share, and you should get out there and share it. So the theme this year is every student, every voice, one university, fostering diversity, equity, and inclusion, which I think is going to be a great conference. So we have people from all around the system that come, and we are able to get together and just kind of brainstorm about how we meet students' needs. And we all meet students' needs, so we probably have some great ideas to help others. And you can enhance yourself as well. So the deadline for proposals is December 20th. And the conference itself is on February 14th, so I'll see you there. Valentine's Day, so we can share the love with our students.
Hi,
I'm excited to announce that we're going to begin biannual enrollment to our nursing program, our associate degree nursing program. We currently admit 32 students to the program in the fall each year. So beginning in January, we're going to begin admitting a smaller group. It's only going to be like 8 students, but that can capture those students who are maybe unsuccessful, because right now, if you're unsuccessful or you don't make the deadline, you have to pretty much in limbo for a whole year. So that's really the purpose for this, to try to help these students to keep moving forward and with that. So we'll begin in January, and with our what we start in the fall now, we'll start up again in January with a small group, but still that'll capture some of those students.
Great, thank you. Other announcements? Okay. Well, I hope that you will join us at the faculty staff appreciation reception. I'd like to thank Dean Collins for co-sponsoring that with our faculty organization. The work that you do on campus is vital, and our students, you know, they need us, and we need y'all to do it. So thank you for that. Anything else? Oh, food.
Yes,
lots
please.
Of food. Please take some food.
Take
we
food.
Can take it to the party where we don't eat here. It's a dessert bar.
With pizza. Now.
With pizza. Okay. So thank you very much. Motion to adjourn.
All right.
Adjourn.
I'm adjourned. Yeah. Okay, folks. Good to see y'all. Bye. Hey, your husband, I asked about it. I'm checking on him.
Tracy, thank you for being the only person to send an accessible document. I meant to mention it, but it was going to take too long. And yeah, the email stuff, I don't know. I suspect eventually we won't be able to do anything without running it for accessibility. But I'm just kind of going on what Antonio is willing to put online for now. And he's just going based on what Columbia is telling him. So I'm sure it'll ramp up. But I think for now those emails are fine.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
I'm so worried that